Today I am announcing my decision to decline the concession application for the Milford Tunnel. National parks are special places, and there are few as spectacular as the Mount Aspiring and Fiordland National Parks. In my time as an MP and as a minister, this would be one of the more significant and difficult decisions that I have made. I have given it a huge amount of consideration and careful thought. There has been over 1,000 submissions that I have carefully looked through. I have considered the comprehensive reports from my own department and the information and consultants' reports from the applicants. I have both read and met with the hearings commissioner, who heard from the large number of players, took the opportunity last month to go down and inspect the site and to walk the root burn track, the section that would be most affected by the tunnel proposal, and also sought advice from the New Zealand Conservation Authority that has a formal advisory role for me as minister. There are three principal reasons why I have declined the tunnel. The first is that the dumping of 500,000 tonnes of spoil into the Holyfield Valley in the heart of our largest national park simply is not acceptable, inconsistent with the National Park Act and a World Heritage Area. The second issue has been the construction of the road and the bus terminal at each end, particularly on the Dart or Root Burn track end, where we had 13,000, significant number of which are international tourists, doing the Root Burn track and wanting to have a wilderness experience that, in my view, would be compromised by the bus terminal and tunnel. The third is that our national parks are managed under management plans. They are consulted on extensively. This tunnel and roading proposal would be against those plans. A further concern for me is the capacity to be able to build this tunnel safely for the $180 million that the applicant has indicated it would be. My worry is that either the corners would be cut on the safety of the tunnel, and very long tunnels of this sort, narrow tunnels, are quite risky, or the cost of the project would effectively financially fail and the government would end up with the liabilities from that. I do want to acknowledge the entrepreneurial spirit and the good intent of Milford Dow, who wished simply to shorten the journey for the 430,000 visitors each year that travel through to Milford Sound. And my decision to decline this application is not in any way a criticism of them. I've advised the directors of the company of my decision this afternoon. They are surprised and disappointed. I note that there are strong passions held on both sides of the debate around this tunnel, and I've said from day one that it is highly likely that decisions may be judicially reviewed. I'd conclude by saying, yes, this is a conservative decision, but when it comes to national parks, nature gets the benefit of the doubt. Happy to take questions.
Minister, can we ask you about this alternative that you speak about in your press release? Can you outline that for us, and is that still on the table?
The applicants, when I met with them, indicated to me orally that they were looking at an alternative proposal. I wrote to them, providing them the opportunity to respond to the formal advice I'd received from the New Zealand Conservation Authority. Last Thursday, they wrote back with the outline of an alternative tunnel. That tunnel would be a couple of kilometres roughly longer and would relocate the portal on the Rootburn trackside by about 3 kilometres to the southeast. Now, I've got no technical advice on that alternative. There's not been any opportunity for the public to have any say. This is the amount of reports and submissions and advice that I've received on the initial tunnel proposal. It would be irresponsible for me to make a decision on the alternative on the basis of a couple of pages.
Have the applicants told you that they will take this for a judicial review?
No. They have advised me that they'll be taking legal advice as a consequence of my decision today, and to be fair to them, I've only notified them of my decision this afternoon.
So you'd expect them to appeal this, though?
Look, I don't want to compromise people's legal rights in any way, and so I'm reluctant to comment as to whether they're going to. I just think with a contentious decision of the sort, involving many millions of dollars, that there is a high likelihood that my decision may face legal challenge.
So this isn't the end of the matter, then?
Well, my preference is that, you know, I've given this very thorough and careful consideration. I think my decision is the right decision and is a robust decision, but I respect the legal rights of anybody who wishes to legally challenge it.
It would be fair to say
that your decision would stand up to judicial
review. I've taken very careful legal advice from my department around the decision. The National Parks Act, under which I'm required to make this decision, puts an extraordinarily high value on natural values. And in my view, a major engineering works and tunnel of this size is not consistent with the underlying principles of the National Parks Act.
It would be fair to say that this decision will come as a surprise to many people. What was the biggest thing that changed your mind? Was it walking the track? What swayed you?
When I thought about 500,000 tonnes of tunnel spoil being dumped into the pre-pristine environment of the Hollywood Valley, I took a deep breath and said, I don't think this is enough.
So it was the environment?
The environmental effects of this tunnel proposal, in my view, go beyond what should be allowed in national parks. My view is that national parks are amongst New Zealand's most special and precious areas. They are deemed by legislation to be places where nature rules, not man. And in my view, this tunnel proposal runs counter to the intent of the National Parks Act.
Some people would say this isn't a very National Party decision. What do you say to that?
Well, the National Party has long held strong views about looking after. In fact, the majority of our national parks have been created by national governments. Many of our iconic bits of legislation to protect the environment have come from national. It is true, we are a party that is about jobs, that is about growth, and about securing a better standard of living for New Zealanders. But we are also a party that recognises New Zealand has a precious environment that needs to be looked after, and this is a decision that has gone in favour of the environment.
Where was your head at before you went to visit the National Park? Well, what's the impact?
I've pretty deliberately gone about this thing, starting from a pretty neutral, seeing the positives. You know, New Zealand has a really important tourism industry that is our single biggest earner of foreign exchange. The Milford Sound, Mitre Peak, is one of the most visited and iconic parts of New Zealand for that industry. That it is a long haul on the bus from Queenstown through to Milford, and so there were some advantages. Equally so, you know, I've played a pretty significant role through my political career in the establishment of national parks like Kahurangi, like Rakiura, and so have a pretty strong set of values around nature. And so I've pretty systematically gone through this in weighing up the pros and the cons, and over the last few weeks have felt very well settled on my decision to say no.
Do you believe World Heritage status would be threatened had you allowed this to go ahead?
No, I don't. And I say that the World Heritage status is one of the considerations, but not the most important. The reason I don't think it was a critical consideration is, firstly, if we look at the tunnel that was put in as part of the Manapouri Power Station in 2005, there was absolutely no concerns raised either by UNESCO or the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. Secondly, if I look at the about 200 World Heritage Sites around the world, there are visitor facilities equally as significant as this tunnel proposal that have been able to proceed without compromising the World Heritage status. Some of the public commentary about the World Heritage status, in my view, has been overcooked. UNESCO has to do no more than write to the government in my department and ask for information about the project. They have not expressed a strong view as to one way or another. They've just wanted information that's perfectly proper for them as the body that recognises and classifies World Heritage Areas.
What are you up to with the monorail proposal? Does this seem to signal a high bar in terms of developing something in this area?
The underlying message in this decision is that there is a very high threshold for allowing engineering works within national parks. The significant difference with the Fiordland Experience project is that very little of it is within national parks. Now, I don't want to prejudge in any way the Fiordland Experience project. I have not considered any papers on it at all. I will be following a similar process in the consideration of that proposal as I have over the tunnel. That is, the first step will be for me to have the Hearings Commissioner report, a report from the department. It will be my intention to meet with all the significant parties to get the proper advice before making a decision. My best advice is that I will get the Hearings Commissioner report late this year.
But it would sound alarm bells for them, surely?
No, I would urge you not to draw any conclusions, either positively or negatively. Each application will be considered on its merits, including if, for instance, Milford Dart decide to reapply in a formal way for the alternative that they may wish to have applied through the formal process.
You talk about the tunnel being just too narrow with only 5 minutes. Can you just outline for me the safety implications around that?
Well, at 11 kilometres long, this would be amongst the 10 longest tunnels in the world. The huge risk that goes with tunnels is fires, because there simply is no place for the normal energy of the fire to disperse. And there have been some awful tragedies in tunnels. We've had our own challenges with the Homer Tunnel already, which is a very short tunnel in comparison. Now, those risks can be managed, but at huge expense. For instance, if you look at the major tunnels around the world that are used for traffic, they have a parallel tunnel that can be used for escape purposes both during construction and in their operation. My concern is that for the $180 million, I'm not satisfied that you would get a safe tunnel. And then the difficulty is either that it becomes a lot more expensive and then financially it fails, or alternatively the corners are cut and we end up with a tunnel that is not sufficiently safe. So that has been one of my concerns that I am not satisfied of in making my decision to reject this tunnel.
Have you informed your cabinet colleagues and the Prime Minister of this decision, and what
yes,
did they
I
say?
Have. I received the final part of the formal process was last Friday, when the applicants had the opportunity to respond to the formal advice I've received from the New Zealand Conservation Authority. I advised Cabinet on Monday of my decision. The decision is legally one for me, not one for the Cabinet, but they were comfortable with the decision that I had come to.
Did they raise any concerns about the loss of economic benefits or tourism as a result of it?
No, it was simply me reporting to Cabinet on the decision that I had come to.
Would you understand if they had concerns about those?
Oh, inevitably. You know, there is a real balance here between New Zealand wanting to take economic opportunities to be able to provide for growth of critical industries like our tourism industry, as compared with the environmental impacts. And on this decision, I have said that the environmental effects of this proposal are too large, and on that basis, I have decided to decline it.